Good afternoon. Glad you were able to make it back for this afternoon's lesson. The title of my lesson this afternoon is going to come, it's going to come from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Is life without God is nothing. Life without God is nothing. We're going to spend most of our time in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. Before we actually get into there, I got about three more verses here. I'm going to read out of the book of Proverbs to begin. I'm going to read here from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. This is when we think about what Ecclesiastes, the book, is about. It's a simple yet radical, these verses in Proverbs are a simple but yet a radical way of answering the question of what life is about. And concerning true wisdom, Proverbs here in chapter 8, starting there in verse 34, says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." If you've studied in the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll see here the writer, Solomon, is a very wise man. But yet, a lot of Ecclesiastes is kind of depressing when if you study it. The first, for the most of the book, it's a lot of negative thoughts. But these are important, and there's a purpose to that. And I hope I can get that out in my lesson this afternoon. So the principles presented here in Ecclesiastes, these are for wisdoms, wisdom from God. How we can get the best out of life. If we hate God and we have no wisdom, it's a death wish. It's not good for us. Today's generation, and I don't want to just say today's generation, but the world today seems to be obsessed with death or the negatives about life. They're very pessimistic, I feel. I see a lot of that in the news and in all kinds of things. Sometimes you see a feel-good story, sometimes you don't. But their thoughts are, we're going to die anyway, so let's live it up to the fullest. You know, let's just live for today because it doesn't matter. We're all going to die. So that thought process is not an acceptable way of living. It's not a way of living for God. Their answer to that process is, that's okay, I can drink my sorrows away, or I'll win the lottery, and then everything will be better. Everything will be great. So they place their hope in physical things, and they get no answer to the great question of what is life about by living that way and having that kind of mindset. Ecclesiastes, however, gives us the answer to that very question. Very relevant topics. It presents realities of life. Very useful. It talks about some of the careless things of the world, and the message itself is, what is life like with God? What is life like without God? And so that's what we're going to look at today, this afternoon, and hopefully we'll get something out of this that will benefit you. So when we talk about the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, we see there in verse 1 of chapter 1, and it talks about the words of the preacher. An experienced preacher. Today's, you know, if we did a job scan on the internet looking for a job, you would see where there's probably a requirement for some experience for just about any job that we see out there today. Everybody wants experience. Although, if you're new to the workforce, you can't get experience without being hired. So there needs to be a fine balance to that. But we can see here, Solomon he's seen it all, done it all. Some things not so good, some things really good. But this letter is towards the end of his life, and it's a lot of wisdom here, a lot of things we can learn from. But he is an experienced preacher. He lived a lot in the world at times, but he wrote this book of wisdom in his closing years. So the thing I wanted to point out here, from the mouth of God. So these are not, I mean, Solomon is writing these, but these are all words from God. These are God's thoughts. These are the things that God wanted him to write. This is wisdom that God has allowed him to have. So we need to keep that in mind too, that these things are from the mouth of God. These are about facts of life. So consider the acclaim. If Solomon would have said, look, I'm going to give you the answer to what life is all about. How can I live life to the fullest? What's the answer to life? That would have probably hit headlines, would it not? It would have been all over the news. Somebody has the answer to life. Well, we know that we have this here, but I want you to keep in mind going through this. This is a life without God. This is someone living a life without God, okay? So if that was to happen, you would see it all over the headlines. Now, I don't know if you're following the news, but there is a company out there now that is trying to figure out a way to transport us all to Mars. I don't know if you've seen that lately. They're building a rocket. They want to find life elsewhere on another planet. They think that that is required to sustain human life. I don't know if they have God in their lives. I don't know what their full thought process is, but they're spending a lot of time and a lot of money on trying to resolve and get an answer to what God gives us an answer to already. And I feel that they haven't put God first in their life. They're dedicated too much to other things. Trying to move everybody to Mars because I think Earth here is going to come to an end is not the solution. It's seeking God. If you think the Earth is coming to an end, we need to seek God. So that's part of what Solomon does here in Ecclesiastes. He kind of brings us down just to build us back up. So these guys don't have the right thought process. They're not thinking the way that they're supposed to. We live in a world that has pretty much said God is dead. It's not needed. Some people don't believe in God. Some people think that there's no reason to even waste your time coming to church. And those people give too much up to the philosophies of mankind and listen to some of their wisdoms or what they think are wisdoms, but they're not. There's no logic to that. But we have the Word of God in Ecclesiastes here, and we're going to get our answers. So secular humanism basically does believe that God doesn't exist, God is dead, man is God. There is no life after this. And so they live their life with that thought process in mind. They've been presenting that there's a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow. Well, we all kind of know that that's not true. The rainbow moves, and at times, you don't even find the end of the rainbow. And there was a picture on the internet, and I think it was a good picture, but it did show, like, I think it said, here's the pot of gold, and the rainbow started in a water puddle in the middle of the road. And so it's kind of humorous to think about that, but that's the way people live today, is life is just like a rainbow, and there's a pot of gold out there, and I'm searching for that pot of gold. I'm going to find my pot of gold, but it's never found. Solomon takes this life without God and that principle and basically says there's a conclusion to this that is not true, and anything that you focus on outside of God, I'm going to smash on the way. These idols that come between you and God, I'm going to get rid of. So I want you to think about Earth like a china cabinet. When you look inside, you see what someone has placed a value on. It's good china. It's worth a lot. I'm going to preserve it. I'm going to put it in this glass case. I'm going to show it off. But some of that china is cracked. Some of those dishes are broken. They've been glued together. They've been repaired. Are those pieces worth keeping, or should they have been tossed out? Well, from the outside looking in, we would think with common sense, like, yeah, they're broke. Throw them away. They're not worth anything. Okay? So we should learn from this and picture the world as our china cabinet. It's broken. It's cracked. It's been repaired at times, but it's broken and cracked. It's not, living life without God is not worth it. It has no value. Okay? It's empty. The first verses there in chapter, in verse 2 in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." It's empty. That's how he begins this sermon, It's empty. It's all vanity. But from there, he builds on the fact, he exposes the things that are just things, all this vanity that's in the world, expands on it, and then applies that to a lesson that could be learned to make sure God is first in our life. He gives very vivid illustrations of that. And so as he moves along, he brings us down to the point of disrepair. I mean, if you read Ecclesiastes, I mean, you would think there's nothing to be happy about. But that's his point. When are we, as Christians, most likely to go to God? When we're at our lowest. When all is doing well, we tend to forget that we still need him. And so when we're down at our lowest, as Solomon does here, it'll cause us to look up. So keep that in mind as we go through here. This statement of emptiness that Solomon has here, his statement is that life under the sun, S-U-N, the actual bright light in the sky, life under the sun without God is meaningless, or vanity of vanities. Literally, the phrase suggests meaningless multiplied. Emptiness times emptiness. There's nothing there. He proves his point with a lot of logic here, but first opening with this statement, this is an attention getter. This should get our attention. If that is what someone says to you, you should be locked on. Well, why is it so empty? Why is it so bad? Okay? And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to get locked into this so you'll listen to his words. This all boils down to this, that life is one big nothing. It is nothing of nothings is what he wants you to think right now. But that is life without God. Don't forget that. Life without God is nothing, and it's nothing of nothings, okay? Life without God is miserably meaningless. It is man building his Tower of Babel to nowhere, not even remembering the whole purpose for what he is here for. Man thinks that we can reach heaven on our own without the help of God. We're still trying to get that pot of gold. It's not there. It's not there. The world, though, will paint you a pretty picture. When you talk about, you know, the world itself that is without God, they'll say, oh, this is great. It's a wonderful place. It'll paint you a pretty picture. We live in a day of wonderful technologies and inventions that can do all kinds of things to make things even look better than they really are. Our children today have no idea life without technology at certain ages. I'm going to tell you a story here real quick. We were at home watching The Price is Right, and this was a throwback version of The Price is Right. It was from the early 80s. One of the prizes that they won was a console Zenith TV, okay? Now, some of you are smiling, you know what I'm talking about. Some of the younger kids in here are looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But it was a console TV, and the lady was ecstatic to win it. She loved it. And one of my daughters looked at the prize and just in puzzles, like, why would anyone want to win that? And I know where she was coming from. She had no idea the times had changed. Technology, and I mean, this was huge. This TV was the size of your deep freeze you may have out in your garage. I mean, that was a big television. And at that time, that was the state-of-the-art TV. That's what everybody wanted. But as young people, they have this technology and all these new inventions, and they don't see that. They can't believe that we had to get up and change the channel on the television without pushing a button on a remote. They just can't understand how that was even possible. They also can't imagine life with only 5 channels, maybe 2, I don't know, 2 or 3 is all you had. And if you didn't like what you had there, you normally turned it off, and some may read a book, some may went outside. But these inventions, this technology today, is painting a pretty picture of what life is. This, just enjoy it. Just have fun with it. We all have technology in our hands. We can all do whatever. We can watch TV on our phones. We can watch TV on, you know, computers and tablets. It's too easy to get into that mindset of, I'm happy. This is all I need. I need my television and a chair, and I'm good. That's not the case. You know, we have CDs and DVDs. We can listen to anything we want to. We don't have to listen to what's on the radio. We can actually pick our song. We can pick certain artists. This paints a, you know, a wonderful world, yes, of all these luxury things, but maybe not. Think about the world as a book. And I know I've made references to the book more today than I've probably ever had in the past, but think about the world as a book. It has a fantastic cover on it, but there's nothing inside of it. When you open it up, there's nothing there. Yeah, I could read that book without probably falling asleep, but again, I get nothing out of it. It's meaningless. It's pointless. Great cover, no content. Life without God is a world with great cover, no content. It's a book with nothing in it. Life without God is hopelessly futile. That word futile, have you looked up the definition of it? I knew what it meant, but I looked it up just to see what words the dictionary gives it. These are the words right out of the dictionary for the word futile. Incapable of producing any useful result. Pointless. Now, would you imagine your life as being futile? Would you imagine life on this earth as being futile? If you don't have God, what do you have? Right? So Ecclesiastes chapter 1 here, I'm going to read verses 3 and verses 8. Verse 3 says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We see these wonderful things, but we're not satisfied. We want more. We hear good things. We want more. We work, and what do we profit it? What do we profit? What do we get from all of our labor? Sum all that up, life is like a rat race. It's we grow up. We work for wealth. We work to provide for ourselves, and we get wealthy. I mean, we are all probably wealthy beyond our means that we need. We're truly blessed. But if we think about life without God and we're wealthy and we buy a house, we buy a car, we live for success and the fame and the fortune, what do you have when it's all said and done? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, as Mark 8:36 says, and lose his own soul? What do we have? Now, there may be value, dollar amount value, in those things you have. But what worth is that man who has all of that stuff and does not have God at the moment he takes his last breath? There is no worth to it, is there? He can't take it with him. There's nothing there. And I don't know about you guys, if you've ever been around and had to help clean out a home after someone has passed away that had a lot of stuff, what purpose was it? It served a physical satisfaction, not a spiritual one. It meant nothing to life after death. It was this world that painted a picture. We have all these ads on television. How many times can you actually watch a show and not see an ad for something? Or in the newspaper, or, you know, the kids will be playing a game or something on the phone, and, oh, there's an ad. I'll hear Trey say, there's another ad. There's too many ads. Well, what are they doing? They're trying to grasp your eye, and I want that. And then you get it. You're not satisfied with it. You want something else. And we see that as, you know, as our children want one thing, you get it, they may get it, and then they want something else. And as a child, they're never satisfied, and that's a learning process for them. But as adults, are we ever satisfied? Do we just see something and think we have to have it, and then we see something else, and we have to have that too? The world paints a pretty picture. They can grasp us from all different angles. But what is this? It's all a journey with no destination, right? It's all a journey with no destination. Some people live their life for the journey itself and not the destination. They want the trip. They don't care where they're going. They just want to be going, right? Doing something. But their philosophy is God is dead. There's no reason to live for the future because there is no future. It's just live for today. Fully justified with, let's party it up. Life is just a party, right? But Solomon here is saying that is futile. That is empty. There's no substance there. I mean, this is sad. When you think about it, if you're not living for the future, what are you living for? What's your life on earth for? What's the purpose? Without God, why are we here? We're just going to be born, walk up on this earth until we're dead, and then there's nothing else to live for, nothing else to look forward to? That's a sad point or sad position to be in. Are we working for what? To make a name for ourselves? To make a profit? To leave our mark upon this world? To leave a famous quote that can be read or searched and your name comes up? That mark is going to be written in dust. Dust will settle on it and cover it up. Someone will come along and wipe it clean, or a wind will blow and it'll be gone. There's nothing left. Life without God is also depressingly repetitive. If we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1 there, verses 4 through 7, and then we'll jump down to verse 9. Starting there in verse 4, one generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. And then to verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. The writer here paints a picture that it's a merry-go-round. It's the same thing over and over again. It rains, the water fills the rivers run into the ocean fills up, it evaporates, it rains, it starts all over. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. That doesn't give good feelings to you, does it? When you think about it that way. But that's Solomon's point here, is to bring us down so he can bring us back up. It is depressingly repetitive. Think about, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard this comment before, someone has the attention span of a goldfish. I don't know if you've heard that before. I searched it just to see what they were talking about. And they actually say the attention span of a goldfish is anywhere from 5 to 9 seconds. That's a pretty short attention span. So when you think about that fish, and one of my children had one on the table for quite a while, longer than I wanted to be there, but it was just a fish. And it was in a small glass container, and it just swam. And so one of the things I looked up this attention span was, this fish, you think about it, swims around that bowl. And about the time it makes one lap, it comes back around to, oh, I've never seen this before. Because their attention span is about that long. And they start another lap. And when they come back around to the same spot, they're like, oh, this is new. And that is, when you think about life without God, it's just a repetitive thing. But we as human beings know that that is not the case. We should make that circle, and when we come back, we should say, hey, I recognize this. I've been here before. And if it's something negative, we should do something different. But at times, when we think about the world, and the world paints this picture that God is no longer valid, that is what we get. We have the attention span of a goldfish. We're just making laps, and it means nothing to us. Yeah, it's a larger bowl, but we still should be recognizing these things as we come back around. Have you heard the comment before that someone says, I would like, or this world is, you know, not being nice to me or whatever, I want to get off this ride. They reference the life as a ride. Well, imagine that. We're not on a merry-go-round, we're on a weary-go-round. It's just wearing us down, and they just want to get off. And that is someone on a ride that doesn't have God. They just don't care. They have no purpose. When we think about what Solomon is doing here, do you see, I mean, it is negative thoughts. And when I say negative, I mean, he's painting a picture that doesn't look very pretty. But what he's doing here is very wise on his part. He's making us eat grass, so to speak. He's bringing the worldly man to some logic and a position of despair. When did the Israelites turn to God? In most of their journey through the wilderness, they had Moses leading them, but then they would get down, and then they would pray or they would complain to Moses. But when you think about going through the book of Judges, they had a judge. When they had a judge, they did great. When a judge passed away, what happened? They fell away. And when they got to their lowest and God punished them and put them under somebody, subjection to someone who wasn't very nice, they felt that was the point of despair. And they would turn to God and God would rescue them with another judge. We turn to God at our lowest point. And Solomon is trying to let us recognize that. He's making us eat grass. If we are at our lowest point, laying on the ground on our back and can't get any lower, what's left? Look up, right? It forces us to look up. And we look up to God, he rescues us. But what Solomon shows going forward here is that the things we must do, the things we got to realize is that the glorious reality that God is not dead. Not at all. God is not dead. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, there in verse 13 and 14. Solomon's going to finish his letter here with just those comments. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, everything he's been talking about. Let us hear this conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Solomon has brought us down to a low point so we can look up and recognize that God is alive. We need God in our life. He is here. This earth, with this world, this earth without God is empty. It's pointless. It's meaningless. It's time we eat grass and then turn to God. So why do we waste our energy on these things of no significance? Because they appeal to our eye, our wants, our wishes on a physical level. That's why. I mean, we've all fallen to that. I'm talking about myself. I mean, that's why these things appeal to us. They're good to look at. We justify what we need. But anything vain that stands between us and God needs to be willing to be sacrificed. We need to be willing to give it up. But we can be honest. We can look at this world around us as a Christian. We can see the birds. We can see the fields. We can see all the beautiful things that God has given us to enjoy and those he has provided for us. Because God is in our life. We are not walking upon this world without God. We are walking beside him. And so we can recognize, we can appreciate these things. And we also understand the answer to those questions. We're here to serve God. We're here to be a good example. The world's wisdom itself is empty, but and more so deadly, because if they continue that trend, they will die in their sins. But we all know that we are going for an eternal reward. We are still looking for a pot of gold, but we know our pot of gold exists. We know when we're going to reach our pot of gold. We know at the end of this life, that we have an opportunity of heaven someday and to be in paradise. And I think that's what we're all striving for. I know this sermon probably wasn't the most uplifting. I know it probably didn't give all good feelings, but I hope you got the point of it. I hope you understood a little bit more of what Solomon was doing here in the book of Ecclesiastes is, you know, bring us down to our lowest point so we recognize that God is still alive and turn to him for help if we are in need of it. So thank you for your great attention. I appreciate it. I leave the lesson with you. If there's anyone here tonight who is in need of prayers of the congregation, we are here for you. If you are here and you need to obey through primary obedience and through baptism and you want to be added to the church, we're here for you also. So if any way we can help, please come forward while together we stand and while we sing.